Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. That was wonderful. Get us into a good motion here to open the Word of God and study it. And let's open the Scriptures to the Gospel of John 17. Gospel of John 17. Continue in the Lord's Prayer. The friend of the assembly that we've been in prayer for has gone home to be with the Lord. And she is out of the cancerous body and home with the Lord and out of the pain and the agony and her family and all. So she's home with the Lord. Went home Monday night. Today's Wednesday, too. Yeah, Monday night. So just be in prayer for her family and I'm sorry? Yes. Yep. She had made a decision not to go in, and she could have lived maybe a month longer, taking chemo and da-da-da-da and all that and all the pain and everything. She just, she didn't want to stay in the hospital. She came home, went home. And they fixed her a nice bed situation with the TV, and she just was right there. So she went comfortably. Yes. Yes. Huh? Yeah, just 2 days. They reached a point where they couldn't do something, so they had them come in. Young Thomas went to school, public school, and started Monday or Tuesday in public school. And Leslie, you know how he's doing today, tonight, okay? Yeah. Well, I woke up tired every morning when I was in school. I'm not making light of it, because they just got to watch every little thing with Thomas. Yes. Yeah. No sales of his own are in there, and so he is 100%. And I asked her when she told me these things when he'd be able to meet the donor, and she said not until it's been a full year. But the donor sent them a little Christmas thing and card, and it had to go through about three different agencies and all before they could get it. And if they send one, it's got to go through several agencies. They just don't want the donors and the recipients to get together before that time because of the emotional trauma if anything happens. So let's continue to be in prayer for young Thomas, be in prayer for his mother and dad. Yes. She has been sick? Oh, wow. Well, let's be in prayer then for Cindy Edwards, one of our fan members. John Hintz's household is hit with, not major, but just everyone is down. And he blames Dan Hill for it. And Dan and Pat came in from Africa and staying with them. He blamed Dan Hill for it. And so let's just be in prayer for them. And he has these studies and teaches. Who else do we need to be in prayer for? Katie, what does Katie go by now in her last name? Her dad is Powell. Okay, Katie Powell. I've known her different names, so I didn't know which one. And Katie Powell's dad, they thought that he was going to die Saturday, but the email today is he's just doing surprisingly well. So just going to have to continue to be in prayer for Mr. Horn. And anyway, just be in prayer for these, And so let's begin now with a word of prayer. Prepare ourselves for our study. Yes, sir. LT? Yes, he's home. I went to see him Sunday night. Wasn't it Sunday night? Yeah, Sunday night. And he was doing much, much, much better. And he's home, and I guess we could say okay, right? Yeah. Yeah. He looked good in the hospital and all. We just had a good time talking. And I like to buy certain books at the half price because you can't get them at the regular store any longer. Not spiritual books like you might think a pastor would give, but I love to pick up books by On the Far Side by Larson or Herman by Unger. And I took him one, and he said he had never heard it. I said, well, if you don't like it, you have to have sort of a warped sense of humor to really get into Unger. Get into Larson. He's a scientist. And, so he opened it up, and he just started laughing with the first few that he read. So I figured, okay, you're going to like that. And you got a warped sense of humor. And But he seemed to be doing really good, and he's home now. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer, to test yourself and see if you're trusting the Spirit. The section that we're going to finish tonight on the sanctification is the most difficult, controversial range of interpretations, different interpretations than any other section in the Lord's Prayer. So let's begin with the word of prayer that the Spirit will open our eyes to the things that He would have us to see. Heavenly Father, first and foremost, we're just so taken in awe with the love of Jesus Christ for us, that hours before His crucifixion, we were on His mind, and we hadn't even come on the scene of history yet. We learned so much about Him. We learned so much about His relationship with You. We learned so much about prayer for ourselves as we pray for others. This chapter is just rich, and we're so thankful that Your Spirit has seen fit to record this prayer for our edification, our knowledge, our understanding, our guidance, and our own prayer life, Father. Pray that Your Spirit will open our eyes to the things You'd have us to see now. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, chapter 17, verses 16 and 17. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. As Thou didst send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctified myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Okay, sanctify them. And we'll just jump right to verse 17, because last week we finished up with a doctrine of sanctification. But let's now work it all together in this passage. Sanctify them. This is the fifth petition from Jesus Christ to God the Father in this prayer. This is the fifth petition. The first petition, verses 1 and 5, was for Himself, that He be glorified. Second petition, keep them in Thy name, verse 11. Third petition, they may have My joy, verse 13. The fourth petition, keep them from the evil one, verse 15. And now the fifth petition, sanctify them, and in verse 17. Now, he's very concerned about joy. And if you remember from our New Year's special, our New Year's challenge, Colossians 1:11, that you have hupomone and makrothumia in joy. Steadfastness, patience with joy. Christ is very concerned, people, that we are in joy, that we have inner happiness. He's very concerned about this. And we saw it all the way through the upper room discussion. He's very concerned. that we have it. It's so easy to get depressed, to get burdened by the things of this world. The world hates us. In the world you have tribulation. All these things. And he's concerned that we have this joy. So I was just interested that they may have my joy in verse 13. All right, now we come to the 17th, the fifth petition, sanctify them. People, this sounds, if you just go through this prayer, it sounds like a prayer of a caring parent. Just read it through that way. But, of course, we're seeing the spiritual love of Jesus Christ. Sanctify or consecrate them. We have the aorist active imperative of our verb, hagiazo, from the root holy, to make holy, to sanctify, to set apart. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13, to consecrate, devote, set apart from a common to a sacred use, set apart of God for God. Sanctify them through thy truth. All right, them, of course, personal pronoun referring specifically to the 11 disciples. Application to all of us, and we'll get to that tonight. I'll show you how all of this has been applying to us also. In or through, or even by, with the prepositions in, thy truth. But note it does not say for thy truth, or not unto thy truth, but it is through or by thy truth. All right, thy is personal pronoun referring to God the Father. Truth, the articular, which means with an article, aletheia, the truth. The truth. And then it says, your, God the Father, word, logos. Is, present active indicative, keeps on being, truth, predicate. This time without the definite article. Now, if I had to pick, after all these years in the ministry, then it takes a few words that are so essential to the flow of the Word of God and so diversely used. Of course, agape would have to be one of them, but one that would be right there with agape is logos, the Word of God. That Greek word logos, translated word, is so rich, so powerful. People, we could spend hours and still not really cover all that it conveys, all that is there. So we'll pick up a little bit and throughout our studies and add to them. But let me just give you an idea. One, the Word of God is alive and powerful. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It doesn't refer to the whole Bible. That refers to the gospel. And we're seeing that in our study of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The gospel is the power of God to save. Secondly, the Word was with God and the Word was God. This, of course, refers to Jesus Christ, the deity of Jesus Christ. So here we have two different times logos. Once it refers specifically to the gospel, once it refers specifically to the deity of Jesus Christ, then we have the phrase, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This refers simply to the written word. To the written word. Just grasping it and learning the wisdom that we're studying in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2, and what we studied in our New Year's Eve special, the wisdom of God, spiritual wisdom. So that is the written word. We have unfold, so we have it as the gospel, the deity of Jesus Christ, and the written word. And we have so many beautiful passages. The unfolding of thy word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. This is the written word of God. The word of God, the word is illuminated by the Holy Spirit. The word is very, very important passage. The word, logos, is very near you in your mouth, in Romans, in your mouth and in your heart that you may observe it. It refers to the gospel. So whenever we have the word in the Greek logos, translated word generally in the English text, kind of wonder which one's talking about. And sometimes it's difficult to find out if it's talking about the living word, Jesus Christ, or the written word. See, so these are different things with the richness of this word. Now, let's examine the Lord's Prayer here in the Gospel of John 17 in reference to this study of word. Verse 14, I have given them thy word, namely, and we studied this, the gospel. Gave them the gospel. Verse 6, they have kept thy word. That is, they have kept the gospel. And how do you keep the gospel? By believing in him. Verse 8, the words, logos in the plural, which thou gave to me, they received them by faith. Then we have a declaration, a clarification on the words. He is speaking of, teaching of, that he is the Savior. And truly, here's the phrase, and truly understood that I came forth from thee, and they believed that thou didst send me. Related to the words that he gave them. So, even here in chapter 17, one chapter, we have different concepts of this word, of the different understandings of the word, the words. The words spoken by Jesus Christ, call, beckon, for faith. The words spoken by Christ always refer or beckon to faith. Look at chapter 4 a moment. Chapter 4, verse 41. Chapter 4, verse 41. It's a simple little verse, but it just clarifies and then highlights some of the things we're looking at. And many more believed because of his word, his teaching, namely about himself, about the gospel. And they believed in him as the Savior, is the idea. Not just believed him, but they believed in him as the Savior. Look at chapter 5, verse 24. Chapter 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Now, we've studied this. You may have forgotten that you were a lot younger when we studied this. We don't talk about that. Just a couple of months ago, maybe. Okay. Truly I say to you, he who hears my word, that is again the teaching of the gospel, that he is sent by God the Father to die on the cross, and believes him who sent me. So you've got to understand the relationship between my word and believes him who sent me. The words that Jesus Christ taught are the words that God the Father gave him. I do not speak on my own. What I say, the Father has given me to speak. All right? Let's know chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 37. Chapter 8, 37. I know that you are Abraham's offspring, physically. Yet you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. What is his word here? My gospel, the teaching of who I am, teaching that the Father has sent me. They have no place in the Jews, these Jews. Look at chapter 12, verse 48. Chapter 12, verse 48. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. That is the gospel. The gospel will judge them. Did you believe in Jesus Christ, or did you not believe in Jesus Christ? So, the words that Jesus Christ spoke beckon for faith, call for faith, summons to faith. The words of Jesus Christ are spirit and life. Look at chapter 6, verse 63. They are spirit and life. 663. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and are life. So the words again that he gives appeals to that believe in him, and they receive the Holy Spirit and they receive eternal life. So the words of Jesus Christ, I'm just showing you the richness and the vast ways that this one word is understood. His word gives eternal life. Look at verse 68 in chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 68. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? All right. People, you may get frustrated sometime, get so disillusioned, I'm just going to quit. I'm out of here. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? See, Jesus Christ said in verse 67, as a result, verse 66, as a result of this teaching, many of his disciples, believers, withdrew and were not walking with him any longer. Jesus therefore said to the 12, this is not a sarcastic, I guess you want to go too, as I've been told. No, he doesn't do that. He just turns to them and he said, do you want to go away also? Do you want to do this? They're leaving. I give you the freedom to leave also. And sometimes Peter speaks and sticks his foot in his mouth. Sometimes jewels come out. Let's take a look. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, the teaching of eternal life. So this is it. The words of God are the words of Jesus Christ. The words that Jesus Christ spoke are not his words. They are the words of God the Father. Look at chapter 8, verse 47. Chapter 8, verse 47. He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason you do not hear them, because you are not of God. The words that Jesus Christ spoke are the words of God. That the word often refers to simply the gospel, and is a clear look at chapter 15, verse 3. Chapter 15, 3. It cleans. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now, what is the word referring to here? The gospel. See, this refers to eternal life salvation. Peter wanted him to clean his whole body. No, you're clean. You're saved. You're saved because of the word, the gospel. What we're talking about here is the cleansing of your feet, or spiritual recovery by faith. All right, let's go to John 17, verse 17 now. Sanctify them in simple terms that you just can remember as you read through here. Very simply, this is not talking about salvation 1 or eternal life. This is talking about salvation 2 or experiential sanctification. They're already saved. Set them apart on earth. I am leaving them. Just as they are set apart eternally, set them apart experientially. Set them apart for this purpose. And the means of setting them apart, now this helps you with the flow now of what's going to happen. The means of setting them apart from all others experientially is in truth. In the truth. Here's another difficult word. Can be used in different respects. Truth can refer to Jesus Christ himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth can refer to God the Father. Truth can refer to the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. Truth can refer to the Word of God. Truth can refer to the gospel. The Word of God refers to the gospel, not to the entire written word. For the written word contains the words of Satan. The written word contains the words of man. They're not all the words of God. But in that same motif, we talk, say this is the word of God. Everything in it is true. What he records that Satan said is true. Recorded just the way Satan said it. What is said of man is true, just the way that man said it. So that part, this is the word of God. But sometimes you got like, the word of God is alive and powerful. That refers to the gospel. Okay. Set them apart in truth, through or by the truth, not unto the truth, but by the truth. Now, what truth is Jesus Christ referring to? Thy word, God, Father, is truth. First time truth is used with a definite article. Sanctify or set them apart in or by the truth with a definite article. And with the definite article, specifies the truth. But now we have, do not have the definite article. Thy word is truth. So logos, this is the written word. The written word is to be given to them by the Holy Spirit. And that's what he's referring to. So the word, logos, this is the written word. Thy word, present active indicative, absolute status of the word of God, is true. The word is the written word, and what is it about that word? It is truth. So, the truth, written word, and what is said about the word, the truth, it is true. And that's what Christ is emphasizing that we understand at this point. Truth, with the absence of the definite article, qualifies. The word of God is absolute truth. So the truth, with the definite article, refers to the written word. Thy word is truth, refers to describing something in nature about the written word. As they grow in the knowledge of the Old Testament and the illumination of the Holy Spirit, that is that they increase in the knowledge of God, increase in the knowledge of Christ, they receive being set apart in the world. And the point is this, people, putting it in simple terms, Bible doctrine separates us from the world. Doctrine in your soul separates you from the world. Sanctifies you. Sets you apart. Sets you apart to serve God. Sets you apart for God's purpose and God's will. New Year's Eve, we studied to be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. People, we have to know His will. And the more we know His will, it sets us apart. And we're slowly set more and more apart as you grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. It's not that the world is changing. It's you're changing as you become more and more sanctified and set apart in the Word of God. This doesn't bother you anymore. This doesn't bother you anymore. This isn't important anymore. This isn't what's important anymore. This isn't that. No. And what's happening is that as we grow in the Word, we're set apart from these things that used to just really bug us and really bother us and all these things. No, as we set apart by the Word, we're sanctified by the Word, set apart for His purpose. And that's what Christ is here praying in regard to these men and to us, as I will show you. So while in the context of John 17:17, it applies specifically to the disciples, this also applies to all believers in the church age, as we'll see from verse 20 and following. Thy word is truth. This is a declaration by Jesus Christ. It's simple, it's strong. Is profound. You would think, since this book is truth, since the Word of God is truth, the written Word is truth, that it would be relatively easy to read and grasp this book. But such is not the case. Seeing truth, realizing truth, what truth is, simply cannot be done by the flesh. The flesh cannot do it. It demands the Holy Spirit. People, this is why sometimes I warn you, there's nothing more dangerous you'll do than to open this book. And I've offended people by saying that. I offended in a strong way to a couple at John's church in Tucson years ago when I first taught this. They were just completely horrified, and they called John the next day, asking if he agreed with that, and he had time to explain, go over and over what I was saying, and they went, oh, okay, and they came back the next night. But that sounds horrible to a lot of people, but because this is the Word of God. How can you call this dangerous? People, it's the most dangerous thing we'll do is open this book. because it can be seen in the flesh, can be seen in so many different ways. You can see a salvation of works, a spirituality of works, or you can see it's by grace, through faith alone. So this is so important that we grasp this, is what Jesus Christ is petitioning of the Father, that these men be empowered by the Holy Spirit, see the truth, and be set apart by the truth. That's the whole scenario of sanctify them in thy in the truth. In the truth, thy word is truth. He is praying this, that God the Father will set these men, empower the men by the Holy Spirit to see the truth and be set apart by the truth. And the more that they are this, the more that they are dedicated and sanctified to His purpose. This is why in our New Year's special, be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. Increase in the knowledge of God. People, the more you increase in the knowledge of God, the more you increase in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the more you're separated, set apart from the world. Not because you're better, not because they're hard. It's just, that's what happens. It sets you apart. I guess the most base way of explaining this is, let's take the man dates this girl, dates that girl, dates this girl, has a lot of girlfriends, and this one boating, and this one, and this one that, and all of the other things, and then he meets one. Okay, and so he spends more time with her. That means he spends less time with some of these others. And then the more time he spends, the less time he spends with her, and the less time he even wants to. It's not a decision. Well, I'd rather not be with this one. I'd rather be with this one right here. And so what's happening is he's separating himself from these other ladies. As we grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we grow in knowledge of the Word, we're set apart. We're separated from the world by the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of the will of God. Okay, sanctify or set them apart in or by the truth. Thy word is truth. Truth, the whole realm of doctrine, past, present, future of God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, doctrine of the church, prophecy, all this is involved in that phrase. Okay, verses 18 and 19. We come to the mission of the church. The mission of the church. Why does God leave us here on earth after we have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior? Why doesn't He just take us home? You know, if you really love me, get me out of all this stuff and just take me home. Okay, let's look at verses 18 and 19. As thou didst send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Okay, look. Since the earth is full of so much evil, the world hates tribulation, and heaven is just so wonderful. We don't know that much about it, but we know it's wonderful. Just the word heaven, that's great. See? So much. Why doesn't God just take us home the moment we believe in Jesus Christ? Here, we experience joy from the Holy Spirit. But that's not to be compared with the constant joy of being face to face with the Lord. Here we experience experiential sanctification, not to be compared with eternal sanctification when we're in heaven. Here we can advance to the mature man. But what's that compared to what John says in 1 John 3, we shall be completely as He is. Why stay here? Here we can increase in the knowledge of Him, but what's that compared when we shall know fully, 1 John 13? Okay? So why doesn't God just take us to a far better place Or why not commit suicide? Why not commit suicide and expedite our going to heaven? That's a wonderful place. Answer. We are here on a mission. We have a mission. We have been sent here by Jesus Christ. Now, I've got it somewhere in my notes, but I just wanted to talk to you about this. Remember, you're born from above. Your second birth is from above. Remember, your citizenship is in heaven. You're sent from there to here. That's where you and I were born. We're sent here. We have a mission. Jesus Christ has sent us here. That by our life, by our word and deed, we have the rich privilege of bringing people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. That's our mission. Remember the Isaiah 43, I declare. Well, first of all, we've got to go to Job. How can he be righteous who is unrighteous before God? How can he who is unrighteous be righteous before God? Who can make thee righteous out of the unrighteous? No one. God said, I can. I declare I will do it, and then I will save, and I proclaim. And we are in that proclaiming stage. We get to proclaim that God has done it. The world hates us. But the world hated Jesus Christ. The world is the enemy of Jesus Christ. But so are we. We are the enemy of the world. The enemy considers us the enemy, its enemy. We have a message for the nations. Jesus Christ loves you, and Jesus Christ died for you. Simply believe in Him. That's our mission. We have responsibility and privilege to proclaim that Jesus Christ has done what Satan said cannot be done. Jesus Christ came, provided salvation, and then departed and went to heaven. Now, how is the world going to know? It's going to know by those that Jesus Christ sends, and that's you and I. Here's the principle. If you get so tied up in this world, stress, anxiety, depression, know one thing. You know one thing about yourself. You have lost your sense of mission. Anytime that we feel stress, anxiety, depression, anger, jealousy, worry, fear, all these things, know one thing. That's a flag. Nobody has to tell us. That's a flag inside. We have lost our sense of mission. We have lost our purpose, our privilege. People, we're not here to idle away our time. We're not here to accumulate wealth of the world, material things of the world. We're not here to be successful in the world's eyes. We're not here just to take up space. We have a purpose. We have been sent by Jesus Christ to this earth. I have also sent them into the world, and it's you and I. He sends us here. People, you will have all eternity to be with Jesus Christ face to face. But we have a very short time to tell others of Jesus Christ. We have a very short time to proclaim that He has done it. That He has provided a way of salvation, of righteousness, without the law, without the flesh, just simple faith in Christ. And that's what we have been sent here to do. So this is a very powerful statement. I also have sent them into the world. Okay, let's take a look at our passage, verse 18. As thou hast sent me. Okay, we have that all-important as, just as. It's an adverb setting up a comparison. Or, for an example, we've seen this before. We are to love one another as, just as He loved us. So here's that comparison again. And people, it's a direct comparison. We cannot sit here and roll our eyes heavenly that God sent Jesus Christ. That's really sets everything apart from everything. No, is just as you and I were sent by Him. Just as He was sent by the Father for a mission, you and I were sent by Him on a mission. This is so important in our lives. And again, I just want to emphasize before we move on, we get tied down with this world, struggling with this world, depressed with this world, and anger, all these things, stress, anxiety, depression. You know one thing, I've lost my sense of mission. I've lost it. Just go to a silly thing in the sports world. You can either complain about your aches and pains, or you know you got a mission. The next game, you got to be out there on the court, out there on the field. Got a mission. Got a purpose. Don't have that, boy, you can feel. And in fact, I always think when football season's over, just picking on football, football season's over, boy, so many of these athletes feel all the aches and pains of the whole year, of all the hits, and the beatings, and the stepping on, and all that's gone on. They feel it now. They feel it. And it's going to take a while for it to get well. But during the battle, just got to get out there. Got a purpose. I've got my assignment. My individual assignment. And people, we have our individual assignment. And we have to know that and be aware of it at all times. Now let's take a look. Just as you sent me. All right, this is our old friend, the aorist active indicative of apostello. Apostello. A-P-O-S-T-E-L-L-O. Apostello. It means to send on a certain mission. And you recall that it emphasizes the relationship of the one doing the sending to the one, to the ones to whom it sent. God the Father's love for the world motivated Him to send Jesus Christ. Now sometimes we have a word that emphasizes the relationship of the one doing the sending with the one sent. But this emphasizes the relationship of the one doing the sending to those to whom it sent. As you, Father, sent me to the world, to those who hate me. See, that's the idea here. Now, God the Father sent His Son to the world for the specific purpose to redeem the world that hates Him. This began with the Christmas story that we're celebrating. The incarnation of the God-man into the world. All right, let's know three things. One, He existed in heaven. He existed in heaven and now comes to the earth. Two, the world is a place of conflict. Three, this phrase, sent me into the world, goes back to John 1, chapter 1, where the light comes into the world. John just keeps this little motif going all the way through his gospel. Okay. Thou hast sent me, apostello, aorist tense, gathers into one ball the whole assignment, the whole mission of Jesus Christ. Sent me. The active voice, God the Father did the sending. The indicative mood is the reality of that sending into the world. Okay, let's know some things about the world. One, they are given to Jesus Christ, they being the disciples and us, are given to Jesus Christ out from the world. Verse 6. Just staying with the Lord's Prayer here. Out from the world. Verse 6. 2. They are left in the world. He's leaving. They are left in the world. Verse 11. I'm leaving, but they're staying in the world. 3. They are hated by the world. Verse 14. Verse 4, point 4. They are left in the world in which they are hated. Also, verse 14. 5. They are protected from the evil one in the world. Verse 15. They are protected from the evil one in the world. Verse 15. 6. They are sent into the world. And by the way, every time I use the word they, I'm talking about us. They are sent into the world, verses 17 and 18. And the beautiful one, point 7, they will be manifested before the world that God the Father sent Jesus Christ and loves them. Verse 24. And people, we are sent into the world, and you have to think of this in the context of yourself. So the next phrase says, I, Jesus Christ, also, just as you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I, emphatic personal pronoun, I myself. I myself have sent them into the world. Aorist active indicative of the same verb. Apostello, their relationship with the world. See, people, one thing we learn about this prayer, Jesus Christ cares about believers, and Jesus Christ cares about unbelievers, the world. Now, remember that he said, I do not pray for those of the world, I pray for these that are mine. That doesn't mean he doesn't care. He cares very much about the world. Look at verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, in order that they may behold the glory which thou hast given me, for thou didst love me before the foundation. O righteous Father, although the world has not known thee, yet I have known thee, and these have known that thou didst send me. Verse 23, I guess, is the verse I'm thinking about, though. I and them, and thou and me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that thou didst send me. He cares that the world knows these things, people. That's why you and I are here, so that the world can know that Jesus Christ is sent of God. What's so special about God, about Jesus Christ? I've noticed in the past years, I've had to change my funeral services. I spend a lot of time now, who is Jesus Christ? Because I don't think a lot of people know who Jesus Christ is anymore. They're confused by the teaching of the Mormons. They're confused by the teaching of different churches. I don't think people really know who he is. And I know the younger generation doesn't know. The younger generation has no way of knowing. At least in my day and time, we had the little Christmas plays and did the Joseph and Mary thing and the baby and all of that. And then for the Resurrection Sunday, we had the things going on about that. And so they kind of knew anymore. Who is Jesus? Who is he? He's the one sent by God to die on a cross, bring the judgment of the sins of the world, to redeem mankind, and that's why we're here. He sent us to tell others why he was sent here. I also have sent them into the world. Aorist tense takes into picture of your whole life on earth. In the active voice, Jesus Christ does the sending, the indicative mood, the reality. Okay, one. God the Father gave them to Jesus Christ. That's that word, them. I have sent them, I myself have sent them. Jesus Christ gave them to Jesus Christ. Two, therefore Jesus Christ has the authority to send them into the world. He has the authority to send them into the world. Three, Jesus Christ uses the same verb for himself as of God the Father, this time emphasizing the specific mission for witnessing for Christ. Look at chapter 14, verse 12. 14:12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. I've been sent to these works, you're to these works. In fact, greater than these shall he do. Because I go to the Father. And you recall this was one with the sending of the Holy Spirit, opening up the kingdom to all Gentiles, not just to the Jews. So this is the point of reference here. Okay, Let's take a summary point one. Jesus Christ as God was not from the earth and was sent by God the Father to the world to save the world. Two, Jesus Christ was sent, commissioned by God the Father into the world out of the Father's love for the lost world. We're studying this in Romans 5 in our normal study. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So point two, Jesus Christ was sent, apostello, commissioned by God the Father into the world out of the Father's love for the world. That's the importance of the apostello. If the word was another word, pimpo, it would emphasize the relationship of God the Father and Jesus Christ. But here it emphasizes the relationship of God the Father with the world. He loves the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So point two is very important. Now point three. Now we are not of this world. We are not of this world. Must get this into your mindset. A, we are not of this world. B, we were chosen out from this world. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ is chosen by God the Father out from all who refuse to believe in Jesus Christ. And it is for this reason that the world hates us. See? Therefore, we are born from above in our second birth. And D, our citizenship is in heaven. So the main point here in three is we're not of this world. In our second birth, we're not born from here. Our citizenship is not here. Excuse me. Point four. And now Jesus Christ sends them, us, back into the world. Back into the world. We're born from up there. He sends us back into the world. Now, we don't experience that because when we believe in Jesus Christ, nothing changes. Our skin, our body, our clothing, all these things, nothing changes. But people, we are not born from here. We are born from above. And he sends us back down here in the same old body, whether you liked it or not, in the same old circumstances, whether you liked it or not, just sent back. It's a funny way to think about it, but I want you to see what's going on. So Jesus Christ has sent them and us back into the world. Sometimes people ask, why does God leave us here after we're saved? Well, here's the answer to the question. Jesus Christ is sending us back into the world with a mission, a purpose. And for the record, under point four, for the record, both Jesus Christ and the Father sent us into the world. Both Jesus Christ and the Father sent us into the world. 2 Corinthians 5:14-21. Let's get a look at our mission, in case you forgot it. 2 Corinthians. It's always nice to go back over what exactly is my commission, my responsibility, my mission here on earth. 2 Corinthians 5. And I like to begin the reading, even though it really the part that we want doesn't come up till later. I like to begin the reading in verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us. The love of Christ for us controls us. Having concluded this precedes. See, it's having concluded this is preceded by Christ loving them. That one died for all, Therefore, all died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves. Okay, there's part of our mission. But for him, there's our mission, who died and rose up again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, and how did we get there? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, by him you are in Christ. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. The old things of the world and gathering up the things of the world and achievements of the world and the material things of the world. All these things. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. He, God, reconciled us through Christ and gave us the ministry, that's the mission, being sent, of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, in sending Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Christ took them on the cross. And he has committed to us the word, there's that logos again, of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. There's your mission. We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were entreating through us to the world, we beg you, world, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. There's our mission. There's our charter. There's your charter right there. We are ambassadors for Christ. We have a message. We're not here to gather up things on this earth so that we can leave them for our children and all of this type of thing. People, we are here to present the gospel, to present Jesus Christ to the world. That's why we're here. And we have a very short time to do it. A very short time. It is amazing how many Christians, especially in America, maybe not in other places in the world, spend their time accumulating all this wealth, and they leave it to their children, and their children don't even care about the Lord. Don't even care about the Lord! Oh, but boy, they do all this work so that they can leave it to them. People, we've got to understand our mission, and you've got to take it seriously. Got to understand why we're here. What we're here for. I don't care how old we are, whether you're late, whatever. You're alive, you have a mission. Have a mission, have a purpose, have an assignment, if you please. We're ambassadors for Christ. Okay, point five. Jesus Christ was sent into the world to reveal God the Father. See, he's a personal God. He's not like Allah. He's a personal God. He reveals himself to us. It's what sets us apart. And then following that, Jesus Christ sent into the world to reveal the Father. We are sent into the world to reveal Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was given the Holy Spirit. We are given the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ pleased God the Father. We please Jesus Christ. This was part of our, I hate to keep doing this, but it's just, I was going through it, reading over my notes, and I took a pen and just went in through it, and then finally ended up, so much I just had to retype it, but our New Year's Eve special, Colossians 1:10, that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord.